fairly substantially remixed version of the original Nick Straker Band tune Walk in the Park. On Siren 107.3 FM, Lincoln's first community radio station, it's 8:36 a.m. In case you're just checking the time. And you'd like to have a full time check. Actually, it's coming up to 8:35 and 53 seconds, but let's say 8:36. 24 minutes to 9 o'clock, for goodness sakes. Minty Steed is joining us briefly now because Dr. Tony Bunnell is not contactable. Maybe she's looking after hedgehogs, which is quite rightly so too, caring for hedgehogs, etc. Minty, you just got a Netherlands dwarf rabbit called JD who's emerged.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. And I understand it's named after Jack Daniels, the drink.
Right. Okay. Fine. So, does he like his little tipple, or does he
like his tipple? We have yet to find out. Right. Yet. If he starts climbing up anywhere he can, looking for something, we're not giving him. Well, not obviously, JD, because he likes the tipple of it.
Clearly, but he's actually got his own pet toy as well, called Tigger. Is that right?
That's correct. He has his own pet toy. Yes, and he has absolutely everything with him. He has his travel box with him, his special little travel pen, some grabs on the grass. He has his little roan, and he has a two-tier, specially handcrafted rabbit run, and his rabbit hut is also two-tier. So he has the absolute, the epitome of luxury for rabbits. He's a very, very much loved pet. And we're looking after him because they can't take him with them where they're going to the new home, but they're hoping they can move on again and then have JD back, you see. So we're looking after JD, so he's part of the group at the moment.
Well, that makes perfect sense. Hopefully the terriers are keen as well to actually, so
they
don't get fazed by that. Okay, so you got your Netherland dwarf rabbit, and of course you've also got Fun Days taking up a place in South Durham with the South Durham Dog Agility Area and a Darlington Fun Day as well. So. What's going to be happening there? Because I know, Gabriella, you're keen to find out what's going to be happening with these terriers. As your Uncle Douglas would say, with his chihuahua, whose name is?
Bosie.
Bosie the chihuahua.
Bosie, you'll have to meet Buster the chihuahua.
Bosie and Buster the chihuahua. Yep. I feel as though we've set up a dating agency here on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition.
And you'll see it's Liberty Hall here. We don't discriminate, you know, as if you say girl meets boy meets girl or anything, just strictly that. I mean, if doggies wish to meet, then doggies can meet. And I'm sure if rabbits wish to meet, rabbits can meet.
How frightfully permissive, Minty. How frightfully permissive for the old canines to actually let it go.
It's what you could describe as, should we say, an open, caring, sharing nature, you know, rather what you could call... gone to the dogs.
See what we did there. Okay, so what does dog agility actually entail? What sort of things will they actually be doing? Because obviously they'll be moving into Lincolnshire before you know where you are. And of course, we're already looking ahead to the 2014 Lincolnshire show, which we're focusing on. But in terms of that, what sort of things do they get tested on?
The agility, it's in three groups. One, you've got the actual jumping agility. So just think of show jumping and, you lead your dog around or your dog goes around on its own and you run alongside the jumps while the dog goes over. They're all grades and heights, from novice to the smallest to the largest, that's all done. Then you've got your agility course, which is rather like to when you see the police dogs doing the display, when they go up and down a ramp, go up and down, a seesaw, go through tunnels and jump over like a little bridge and all of that. It's very much that type of thing. Then you have your agility where it's strictly various little fences with lots and lots of poles, and just think of bending races in gymkhanas, and the ponies weaving and out through the poles. And they do that, so there's maybe 40 of these posts, depending on how advanced they are. And they weave in and out, owner has to run alongside. And they do that at least twice during the jumping course. And it's a bit like sort of cross-country for horses, with a bit of gymkhana thrown in. And they're all different heights and levels, though. So Snap, who made her debut of agility at 24 years of age, and she paddled around the special class for veterans, and she's a super veteran, of course. And she absolutely loved it. And a couple of the things that were thought a little much for her, she was picked up and carried over those and put down the other side. And she absolutely loved it. So if a 24-year-old can have a go at and think the bee's knees for doing it. I think anyone can have a go. And some of the fences are very, very tiny, so there's no need to worry about height.
So, Gabriella, do you think that Boise the Chihuahua will be able to take part in a dog agility class before tour? Has he taken part in a
Well, he's a bit
class?
Overweight.
Well, then he needs
but
it, doesn't he?
I'm sure he's got a lot of energy considering his weight. So I'm guessing that he definitely could. He used to go for, like, 5 hours walk.
And he could always just walk through the fence,
Buster
really.
Buster completes the course, and he's just slightly larger than a teacup. Very slightly larger, and he can do it. The ones that are for the tiny dogs. So I'm sure that your entry would be most acceptable, and it would be rather interesting if you go to, say, Duncan Park later on in April, or one of the others where there's several days in a row. We would be there with Buster, and it'd be interesting to see two chihuahuas go around, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would.
That's your challenge, to get the text out to Uncle Douglas and get the thing sorted through. There we are. We have that Gibraltarian Chihuahua. Although, is he a Gibraltarian Chihuahua?
Well, he's from London.
He's from London. Right, so Cockney Chihuahua.
Yeah.
It is Boise and Buster. It's fantastic. Minty, we may be back with you. At least I won't, because I'm heading off to do various other bits and pieces in the second hour. Ed has not arrived. I don't know what these days. Equity ruling. Make the half. He may be right. If not, Mr. Computer will look after the whole thing. But we'll speak again. Last two questions from Minty Steeds. At present, please, Gabriella.
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
Very much so, especially hearing about the Chihuahua. Buster is now looking for a few friends at Chihuahua.
Buster's expecting Boise already.
Nice.
Exactly. So.
Yes. And will you be connecting with us again?
Yes, as soon as you call back. We're waiting on 10 ducks, aren't we? The whole world is waiting. Will Ed arrive? Will Ed not arrive?
It's that uncertainty that makes life interesting in so many ways. Here's Eleanor Fargens with lyrics. Here's Cat Stevens with song. Stephen's morning has broken on Siren 107.3 FM, Midweek Drive Morning Edition. Dr. Tony Bunnell is with us. Yes, musician, writer, wildlife biologist, a general wonderful person and carer of hedgehogs. Good morning, Tony. How are we?
Hi, Alex.
Excellent. We must get your music as well involved with it in the near future, as well as obviously authors, a whole range of things. But today we're here to talk very much, as indeed your voicemail, a sort of quite lovely sort of piece actually sort of addresses, which is how do we look after hedgehogs? How do we actually care about them? What's the important thing to look after them? Because we were speaking with Sarah Gayton earlier in the production, and she was saying, yeah, I like them, but they all get squashed. No, we can work our way through that. So, Tony, over to you.
Okay, so many people phone me up or you read in the newspapers, what do I do if I actually find one? So two things, really. If you find a hedgehog out in the day, that's something seriously wrong with it. Very rarely it could be an adult hedgehog out foraging to get extra food if it's got babies, but mostly if they're out in the day, they're in trouble. So ways in which you can help them, obviously, I've outlined these in a new book I've written called The Disappearing Hedgehog. So basically, if you find one and you can't get it to a vet till the following day, shall I go through some of the things you could do?
I think that would be superb,
Tony. Yeah, okay, right. So basically, get it inside. Some people think they have fleas, and basically most hedgehogs don't have fleas unless they're quite sick. And if they do have any, they're not going to bite you. Unlike a cat or a dog flea, which will really have a field day on you, hedgehog fleas, no problem. So bring them inside. Put them in something like a recycled bin, because people have found they put them in a little tiny bin, a little tiny container. They don't realise how much they can stretch. And we've had some rather awkward situations where people have had to retrieve hedgehogs from under the floorboards, around the back of a cupboard, because they can get out. So put them in a recycled bin, perfect. Put a little top on, but not completely. And then give them, if you've got sort of cat biscuits or water, something like that, just to get them through to the next day. This really can be a lifesaver, because for a start, you've got them in the warm if it's a cold night. And if they're out in the day, obviously they're out in the day, they shouldn't be because they're crepuscular, so they should be out from dusk till dawn and not out trolling about in the day. So
I think that's
the first step to take anyway. Yeah.
And there is a book, of course, that you've produced that people can actually get, as well as obviously going to tonybunnell.co.uk, which is, of course, your homepage with hands-on healing research and the European hedgehog, the care of the European hedgehog and so on. But in addition to that, how can people get hold of the book?
Yeah, just my music and story and book website, which is tonybunnell.com. Mm. And it's, yeah.
You are indeed a genuine Renaissance
woman. Yeah, you get it from that. And it's just, it gives you sort of good guidance on what to do and also what to do if you get them in your garden, how to attract them into your garden. And then there's some light-hearted stories about Roger, Tales from the Hedgehog Sanctuary, slightly off-the-wall stories as well. And then there's places you can phone to, like British Hedgehog Preservation Society. And it's a whole load of little tips, really, advice what to do to help them.
We have Gabriella Peralta from Gibraltar in the studio. Gabriella, are there hedgehogs in Gibraltar?
Not that I've seen, no.
Oh.
No, but I think they're quite cute. I haven't seen them in real life, unfortunately. But, I was always wondered as well, like, can you touch them? Or is there a special way you can touch them? Because I've seen people touch them, not seen in real life, but on television. People touch them and they don't get, like, obviously hurt, their hands. So
right,
wondered.
Okay, gloves, basically. That's the only way. I mean, having said that, if I get one in that's poorly, I tend to put my hands underneath, but you have to be really careful because if they curl up tightly, the spines go in your fingers and your hands, and it's quite excruciating. So, yeah, pick them up wearing gloves. I think that's always the best plan.
Very much a defensive mechanism, of course, because, you know, it's like us, you know.
Yeah, just protection.
Yeah, you want to curl up in a ball and hopefully get that sorted through there. It's marvellous.
Interesting about Gibraltar, because I'm in touch with somebody in Lithuania, we're sharing data, and he's actually driving around collecting data in terms of roadkill, because that's sort of catch-22. The more hedgehogs that are dead on the roads, the more that there are out there, so it's an indication of populations.
Fantastic.
Yeah, that's quite interesting,
I mean, would it be worthwhile introducing the hedgehog as an indigenous species to the 3 miles, 5 miles? How long is it?
I don't know if we can add any more animals.
You've got the Barbary apes. I'm sure they get on very well with the hedgehogs.
I don't know if they would. Mm. I don't think Barbary apes and hedgehogs quite go together. I can't imagine Barbary ape picking up a poor hedgehog.
What do you think, Tony? Yeah. You're the expert in this. Barbary apes and hedgehogs. Would you say it's best left alone?
No, definitely not to reintroduce something. Yeah. They did it in New Zealand, bad idea. They did it in Benbecula and Uist, the Scottish Islands, bad plan. So I think if they're not there already, don't put them there.
Stay away.
Well, the apes were not in Gibraltar already. They just put them there.
We
can't put more animals though. It's just get ridiculous. Get like a small zoo.
Did the Spanish just sort of think, "Oh, Gibraltar, put it there as a zoo"?
I don't know who put apes on.
Apes on Gibraltar?
Oh, I'd like to know as well. Yeah.
It's a story we can actually work towards. Tony, it's been fabulous as ever. A little bit shorter than we'd originally anticipated. So I need to obviously throw those last two questions at you. First of all, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the show this morning?
Yeah, fantastic. Yes.
And can we look forward to, again, featuring you in the very near future, probably ahead of Easter, certainly, to talk about, obviously, more hedgehog care, and probably, to say, the music and the fiction as well, because I think there's a whole other area here we need to explore and develop.
Yes, that would be great. Be really happy to do that.
Brilliant. Dr. Tony Bunnell will return. Meanwhile, travelling Wilburys, even, with their guides to hedgehogs. Handle with care. Bye-bye for now, Tony.
OK. Thanks, bye.